it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He will still do for you.
Impossible with God.
There is no doubting and there is no fear. Just put your trust in Jesus and the answer is near.
Impossible with God.
We walk by faith and never by sight. Our faith is in Christ Jesus and the power of His might.
Impossible with God.
I like this. Listen, church. Jesus is listening and He hears your every prayer. Shake off discouragement and give the Lord your care.
Impossible with God. When He speaks, you know it's done. With Jesus Christ, His Son, there's nothing impossible. Impossible with God. Believe in Jesus' name.
Clearance here now. This past week it was jumping hurdles. Oh no, but anyway, it's good to be here. You glad you saved this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We just came out of a wonderful jubilee this past week, and as you see on the marquee in the front of the church, souls saved and lives changed. And I don't see Brother Brian this morning. I know he's somewhere doing something serving, but I believe we had three souls that were touched and three souls that were saved down in Junior Jubilee. And so that deserves a round of applause this morning. Appreciate what the Lord is doing. Appreciate what He did this past week. I had one lady that's been visiting with us for some time now. She came to me two different nights in tears. And talking about the tears where you can't catch your breath. Just saying how that a son of hers had called her right in the middle of service she hadn't heard from in years and wanted to regain a relationship with her. Her relationship with her husband's being strengthened. And all kinds of different reports just spontaneously given this past week. And so was Jubilee a success? Yes, it was.
Amen.
Yes, it was. And we still have our Jubilee banners up here. Because we're extending Jubilee today. And Jubilee is every day in the heart of a Christian. And so we appreciate the Lord being our Jubilee, being our victory. And we've come this morning to worship him. So I do want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. And I wonder if we have any first-time visitors with us. If this is your first time, would you be so kind to raise your hand? And if this is your very first time being with us, looks like everyone has been here before, but we do have some visiting with us. And it's good to have you this morning. And I know there's some things I want to mention, but we're going to bypass a lot of them. And we'll pick them up this evening, the Lord willing. Just pick up a bulletin. That way you can stay in tune with all the people on our prayer request portion of our bulletin. There's some who've had surgery as of late, and some that's been in and out of the hospital. And so you remember them. Let me say this, and we'll pray. Thank you to everyone who had part in making Jubilee possible. Jack and Jackie for cooking, all of those, the Teague setting up tables. Just an amazing kitchen staff we had. If I started naming names, that's why I shouldn't have started naming names. But you know who you are that served faithfully each night, and thank you for that. It couldn't have been possible without your help. Well, we're here. It's the Sunday after Jubilee. Let's just worship the Lord this morning. Let's see what he has to tell us through song. And let's see what he has to tell us through his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. Lord, like Brother Smith said Tuesday night when he was preaching, that we're on holy grounds, Lord. We recognize that our shoes are man-made. Speaking of human efforts, speaking of human ability. Tonight, Lord, we symbolically step out of our shoes. Father, we don't want to operate in the ability of human nature. We don't want to operate in the ability of our own skill set and what we can do. We acknowledge you as holy. We humble ourselves because of that and step out of our man-made stuff, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us this morning. Be upon us, Lord. Be in us. Be with us. Speak to Brother Allen, Lord, in the choir, God. I pray that as it was reported for your honor and glory this past week, Lord, that Calvary Baptist Church choir, one of the best. And Father, I pray this morning when it comes time to the breaking of your to the opening of your word, the breaking of bread, Lord, the bread of life, God, that you would speak to hearts and change lives. Today's a new day. Today is a brand new service. We're thankful for what you've done last week, the souls saved and the lives changed. But we need a special word today. We need a touch from heaven. We praise you, Lord, for what you've done. We praise you for what you're doing, and we praise you for what you're going to do. We have a thankful heart this morning. Standing on holy ground. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand with me this morning? Turn over to page number 177. Page 177. Let's all stand and sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" All right, let's everyone sing now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood on the last? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Can we sing that again, church? Sing that chorus again. all cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Thank you. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. And let me just take just one moment of liberty if I can. And you might want to join with me as well. But I just want to thank the choir and our musicians in their place every night. Tremendous job. And I just want to thank our choir, Calvary. And our musicians, I'm very, very thankful. And I know we're not supposed to be proud, but in the Lord, I'm proud of them. Amen. And they did a tremendous, tremendous job this week. And got a lot of great, great comments about the choir, and I'm very thankful for them. And with that said, choir practice today. Choir practice today at 5:30, though. We're going to give you a little bit of a break. Because do you know what's right around the corner? Easter. You believe that? We're talking about Easter already. And but what a great, great week. The Lord's been good. Amen. I'm glad to know that He's still on the throne, and He is still in the soul-saving business. I told y'all that there was great things come out of Junior Jubilee. Amen?
Right.
You get those kids down there under Brian and the crew, and they will hear the gospel. Amen. And they did. And I'm thankful that young hearts responded to the gospel this week. Man, if we would pay attention and catch on, there's no telling what might happen up here. Amen? Most of us sleep. I don't know what's going on, but we are very thankful for what the Lord has done this week. And just pray the Lord just continue, as Pastor said. This it's not the end, it's only the beginning, what God has in store for us. And we just need to think back on what the Lord has spoken to your heart about this week. I told Sunday school class this morning, you know, we all have the special things that kind of stuck out through the week. I remember Brother Sammy's message on Sunday night. When you don't know what's going on, God's up to something. Amen. God's got something going on. God is up to something. And so many things that were said, songs that were sung, and boy, what a blessing this week. But we stand in need of a fresh touch this morning.
Right.
I know we might be a little tired in the body, but we pray the Lord would just renew our spirits this morning. We have many prayer requests. Please remember each one. Barbara Ann's not here with us. I don't see Miss Barbara either, but it was so good to see her much of the week, and I'm very thankful for that. And so just continue to lift them up in prayer. And again, we have a lot of prayer requests. Miss Melita is still recovering from surgery. Continue to pray for Miss Glenda. She's in her place, but she's the walking wounded this morning. And pray for David. Amen, Brother David. And she can't give him the left jab, but she's still got that right, man. He better behave himself. But we do continue to lift her up in prayer. I know she's still in some pain, and we continue to lift her up in prayer. And again, many others. But please also remember that the list is down front. If you want to get the book on the book of the Revelation, that Brother Jack and Miss... I knew I'd say that one these days. Brother Jack and Miss Jackie have worked on so hard. You go ahead. There's a couple of them already signed up for that. Many have already gotten that, and they have that already. So if you're interested in getting a copy of that, the sign-up sheet's down front. Go ahead and get your name on the list, and they'll get your book to you very soon. So please remember that. Also, remember the service tonight, of course, Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. And let's just pray that the Lord would just speak to our hearts this morning. And I know that... Brother Justin has done a tremendous job moderating the service all through the week.
Amen.
And I know that he must be full in the Spirit this morning. And we look forward to what God has for us today. So pray for him this morning. But let's just pray the Lord give us a great week. Now let's ask God's blessing on the offering. Brother Don, would you lead us this morning as we pray?
Thank you.
that precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence.
I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry. I had this sacred within.
I've been
washed in the blood of the Lamb.
How oft I cried. Far away from you, my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now, oh God.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. We are blessed this morning. We've got Brother Eddie. He's going to come and share a song with us this morning just before Pastor comes with the message. Brother Eddie, would you come at this time?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I'm proud to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, if you say the word Jesus, look at my face, you automatically smile. I sure would appreciate it. Everyone in the church would stand up. I know y'all know this old song, and make a loud noise for the Lord. I appreciate y'all letting me sing for you this morning. It's for the glory of God.
Amen, sir.
Y'all heard that song, I Saw the Light, right? Well, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like that blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claim for my own. But like that blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray. Straight is the gate and narrow's the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
That's for you, Lord.
I told you Jubilee isn't over. Appreciate that, Brother Eddie. Appreciate the choir this morning. And again, it's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter number 6. 2 Kings 6. Where we're going to be this morning. I tell you, after Sunday, our Jubilee kickoff, Brother T.D. and then Brother Sammy being in 2 Kings, kind of created a theme in my heart. And but we're not going to be in chapter number 18. But we're going to be in chapter number 6. I'm sorry, they were in 1 Kings 18 and 19. 2 Kings chapter number 6 this morning. I'm going to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will open up our lesson this morning and get into the message. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm thankful for this past week. I'm thankful for what you've done and how you stirred and confirmed and, Lord, pinpointed things. Even in my life. But Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you would hide me behind your cross. And Father, let my thoughts be your thoughts. Let your thoughts be my thoughts. Let us be one. And help us operate, Lord, out of the gift we believe you called us to do and to have. We love you. And we're thankful for what you've done. We're thankful for what you're doing. And we're thankful for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll notice in verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter number 6, you'll find an entitlement of a group of men called the son or the sons of the prophets. Notice what he says in verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, The place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Who are this morning the sons of the prophets? Again, as Brother T.D. and Brother Sammy were in 1 Kings, I started looking from chapter 19 of 1 Kings into chapter, or 2 Kings, up to chapter number 6. And I kept on seeing the phrase, the sons of the prophets. Of course, I've seen them and read about them some time ago. But what you'll discover is there's a general theme. You'll find these groups or this group of men, sons of the prophets, doing different things in the Old Testament. They were a community of men who were devoted to God and served Him faithfully. And it's said, and you'll find out, that these men, the sons of the prophets, they followed the teachings of Samuel, Elijah, and Elisha during the time of the prophets and were known as their students or their sons. They were the prophets' associates, if you will. And in time, they succeeded them and became leaders. In 1 Kings 19, do turn back if you would for a moment to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19 and verse number 18. 1 Kings 19 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Some believe that these 7,000 were the sons of the prophets, or this community of students that followed the prophets. If you'll notice, go back another chapter, chapter number 18, 1 Kings 18, in verse number 13, or verse number 43, 1 Kings 18, verse 43, some of the same verses that were read from T.D. and Sammy about this servant. The Bible says in verse 43, 1 Kings 18, 43, "And said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. It's actually believed that that servant, that when that prayer was being offered to God for rain, that he would go down and up, that same servant, it was said, was out of the sons of the prophets, students that followed these prophets, Samuel, Elijah, and Elisha. Of course, as we continue to follow these men, if you'll look in 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 3, we see that these students predicted Elijah's departure from this world. 2 Kings 2, 3, the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And so these students of the prophets, they were prophets themselves. They could predict. And they knew that Elijah was getting ready to go off into heaven. We're in 2 Kings. If you look in chapter number 4, verse number 38, we see that now Elisha is the leader, and Elijah is gone into heaven. And there's the account here in verse number 38 down to verse number 41 of the death pot of stew. And the sons of the prophets were getting ready to consume this death pot of stew. And Elisha touched it, and he cured it. Same chapter, look down in verse number 42 and 43 and 44, we find that there were 20 loaves of barley. Yet in the hands of Elisha, he fed 100 of the students of the prophets. You'll find that this group, this community of men that were following these prophets, they were devoted men of God. They loved the Lord. They were faithful to the very end. But now we get to chapter number 6 and something happens. In chapter number 6, we find in verse number 1, again the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." So now there's a problem that this group of men, this community of prophets or students of the prophets that were becoming prophets or preachers, their lodging place didn't hold all of them. It was too straight. It was too narrow. So now they're getting ready to go and build a bigger facility over by the Jordan River. And some things take place here with their tools they had. And there were some instances where they had to trust God in this situation and trust Elisha, the man of God. With all of that said this morning, I want to take that phrase, the sons of the prophets, and I want that to be my title this morning, the sons of the prophets, the sons of the prophets. And I want to mention some things about these students, these young men, these sons that were in this college, this community, that were following these men of God. I want to mention some things out of these verses, verse number 1 through 7, that they did. Ways that they responded to adversity. Ways they responded to situations that transpired while they were trying to build a bigger facility for themselves. And I want to compare it to us. And I see some things that we can benefit and be challenged from out of these verses when it comes to the sons of the prophets. Four things this morning. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 1, the company they kept. They kept a particular company. And that company had to do with the prophet Elisha now. It was Samuel. It was Elijah, but now it's Elisha. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha." And so they were following Elisha. The reason why they were following Elisha is because Elisha impacted their life in a very positive way. Let me ask us all a question up front and early in the message this morning. What kind of way are we impacting those lives around us? Are we a positive impact? Do we have a positive influence upon the lives of others? Or do we have a negative influence upon the lives of others? Not just in church, but in the workplace, in the schoolhouse, in our homes. It's known that Elisha was a very positive impact upon these young men that were in the college of prophecy. Now, you don't have to turn there, but in the New Testament book of Philemon, we'll know that Paul loved Philemon. And he actually said that the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Philemon was a man who had a great compassion for the people of God, and he was encouraging to them. He was a refreshing Christian. We all have to look on the inside this morning of our own hearts, starting with me up here, and say, am I a refreshing Christian? Or every time that you get around me, do I bring a bad report? You see, one or two ways we can affect people in life. We can either be a positive person in their life, or we can have a negative pull in their life. I gave an illustration one time of a chair, and I was in a church, and I had the chair, and I guess I'll just point now. I don't have anybody, but if someone was standing in this chair or a chair, and that person was reaching down to pull somebody up, who do you think would pull first in a specific direction? I guarantee you the person in the chair would not easily pull up the person from the floor on the chair. But it would be easy for the person in the floor to pull down the person in the chair. And you see, as Christians and as people of God, each and every day of our life, we have some kind of impact on others. We're either a refreshing Christian or a depressing Christian. And I know we all struggle, and I know we all have problems and difficulties, but when it comes to coming into God's house, we are to be a vessel prepared for the Master's use. We're not to come in here and pour out complaint. We're not to come in here and beat each other up with spiritual boards. But we're to come in here this morning and we're to say, hey, brother and sister, we're praying for you. Hey, brother and sister, we're here for you. And listen, there's times when we drag ourselves in here because of the war on the outside. We know that. There's times. And I'm not belittling that. But what I'm saying is when we come into God's house, we are to come ready to pour into others and to be a blessing to others. Well, this man, Elisha, he had a very positive impact on the sons of the prophets. In 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21, turn there if you would, back one book to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21, I believe that Elisha had such an impact on these young men because of how he entered the ministry. 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. Notice what the Bible says. This is speaking of Elijah. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th. Notice this. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. We see Elisha's call into the ministry, which had nothing to do with Elisha. This was a time when Elisha was elected by God through Elijah to enter the prophetical school of prophecy. And now we have Elijah passing by him, and at this particular time, Elijah cast his own mantle upon Elisha. We know there comes a time when Elijah goes into heaven, and this particular time when he goes into heaven, that Elisha takes upon him his mantle. But this first initial time is his call into the ministry, and this is when Elijah cast his mantle on him. Look in verse number 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I to do with thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. We see that Elisha was called into the ministry. He was drafted into it. Elisha didn't ask to be in the ministry, but he was handpicked from God. And when Elijah was passing by, he took his own mantle and threw it onto him and drafted him in. And I want to say that at this particular point, this was when Elisha followed Elijah and he seen something about the man of God. He watched how he walked and he watched how he talked and interacted with people, and this inspired young Elisha. And I want to say today that we ought to be that kind of person. We ought to be that kind of company that is refreshing to others, that inspire others to follow Jesus, not fall away from Jesus. And we see this morning that's exactly the case with Elisha. Elijah cast his mantle on him. He didn't ask for it. It was done. Therefore, by God, through Elijah, Elijah seeing something in that young man. We ought to see some benefits in people around us. We ought to see some good things in people around us. We ought not to go up to somebody or people at an occasion and pick them apart and say, "If you would do this better, if you would do that better, you're no good." We ought to come around the people of God and say, "Listen, I know you may be struggling, or I know you may be in a bind, but you have wonderful elements in this realm. Why don't you go over here and do this for me? Or can't you do that for me? Pick out the good parts about people and thrive on those things. We see that Elijah did that to Elisha. Notice this as well. Elisha left the farm. Elisha followed Elijah. Elisha picked up the mantle in 2 Kings 2:13. Elisha did twice the miracles Elijah did. Young Elisha did double the miracles. We're talking about a man that was connected to God. We're talking about a man that had a school of prophets following him. And the reason for that was because of the impact he had. Notice something else. In 2 Kings 5, verse number 10. Look at 2 Kings 5:10. We know that Naaman the leper was wanting to be healed. And finally word came to Elisha. But guess how he handled it? 2 Kings 5, verse number 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Look at verse 11. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. This man, Elisha, had wisdom. Elisha knew that no one could help Naaman but God. And so Elisha stayed in his quarters, staying connected to God, and sent a messenger. Can I say this morning that humanly possible, I try to attend to the needs of everyone. But there's some times where, and all the time, but there's some times where the needs of people superabound the ability of the natural and the human side of things. Sometimes I just have to turn people over to God. Because we try and we pray and we beg and we want their healing and we want them to be fixed and back in church and living and thriving for the Lord again. But sometimes you just got to stay and pray. Elisha, the man of God, he stayed in the quarters, but he sent a messenger out. We see that all of this was building upon the character of Elisha. And Elisha was making a very positive impact. And because of that, he had a college of young men watching him and following him. What kind of company are we this morning? What kind of impact are we making on the lives of others? There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the company they kept, the sons of the prophets, but I want to go a step further. In verse number 2, I want to look at the character they had. Now, the sons of the prophets, they followed the man with character. But they also had character as well. In verse number 2, we see that they had a strong work ethic. Look at verse number 2. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. One said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. These men not only read books, but they builded. These weren't lazy men. These were men who read books, but they built buildings. They had built a previous spot for all of them to dwell, a college facility, if you would. And that's where they studied, and that's where they slept, and that's where they prayed. But then that began to be too small for them, and so they needed a new place. They weren't too busy to go build. They weren't too high-minded that they couldn't condescend and build. They had a strong work ethic. What has happened to our generation today? It's a microwavable generation. It's instantaneous. Things need to be done. They need to be done instantaneously. And if it's not done instantaneously, if it's not done immediately, then our generation gets mad and crossways with adults. I'm telling the truth this morning. But these school of prophets, they were so humble, and they were poor men actually, because they had to borrow an axe head. But they had a strong work ethic. Let me say this, and I want to tread very lightly and move on. These men had a strong work ethic. They didn't rely on the government. Listen, they could have went to the local government for help. But because they had enough get up in the morning, they may not have felt the best, but they got up. They may not have been able to do what they used to do in years past, but they got up and they built. I want to say this about our government in the day and time which we live. Those who really need help can't get help, and those who don't need the help get the help. And I don't ever get political from the pulpit, but by reading this, I see a group of men that wasn't afraid to work. They had a strong work ethic. Look at verse 2 again. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. He didn't say, hold on, Elisha, are you passing through the city today? Because I need to go to the local system and ask if they'll, you know, overnight some beams. No. They had a strong work ethic. But not only that, but notice this. They secured their ideas. Look at that first phrase in verse 2. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. They secured their ideas with the man of God first. They didn't just say, okay, we have this strong work. We're not afraid to work. We're not going to the government, but we're going to do it ourselves. And they went to Jordan. No. They checked with the prophet first. And I want to say today that whatever ideas we have, we want to do, not only in church but at home, listen, we need to check with the Lord first. Amen. We need to check with Him first. You may be one who's not afraid to work and that can work and have a strong work ethic. And you may have great ideas for the church and for your home and for your life. But we also must check with the Lord and see if He's in it first. Amen. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. Notice this. And take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. Look what the prophet said. And he answered, go ye. These sons of the prophets, they had a strong work ethic, but also they secured their ideas. Sometimes, and I'm learning more now than ever in my Christian walk, just because I get an idea and it fits does not necessarily mean God's in it. Does not necessarily mean. And listen, over time you can sense God. Well, God has moved in this way. God has worked in that way. Surely God will work in this way. But guess what? The same verses Brother T.D. and Brother Sammy preached out of. Elisha was in a low spot under the juniper tree. And he was listening for God in the thunder, but he couldn't find him. And he was looking for God in the wind and listening in those familiar places that Elijah with the fire on top of Mount Carmel. But now, he wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the rain, and he wasn't in the wind. And Elijah was so low that he got to that low spot where he just became to be still. Listen, this is the prophet of God who stood before Ahab and he called fire down from heaven. Surely he knows God's next step. But this particular situation, when he was under that juniper tree, he wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the thunder. He wasn't in all of those things. He had to quiet his soul to find God. And these sons of the prophets, they were following Elisha because of his character, but they had their own character. They had a strong work ethic, but also they secured their ideas. What are you sure about this morning? And listen, I don't want to make anybody doubt or be confused. That's not my intention. And And if it ends up that way, we know that God is not the author of confusion. We may need to enter our prayer closet and really find out what God wants us to do in that particular situation, because we know He works in different ways. We have to beseech God in prayer. You remember when David went out to face the Philistines? He said, "Lord, shall I go up?" God said, "Go." But there was a second time, same enemy, same place. David said, "Lord, shall I go?" And God said, "No." Same set of circumstances. History's repeating itself. This could be another victory like last time. But no. God actually told David, "I want you to approach this situation differently. Go over behind the mulberry bush, and when you hear a sound of a going on tops of those bushes, the mulberry tree, I want you to go and attack the enemy that way." Listen, this morning it is so imperative to have a consistent prayer life. It's so imperative to be in the book of God, not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Listen, it may not be the preacher's fault for your decline of spiritual fruit this morning. If that's your case, it may be because our Bible is only picked up 3 times a week. We got to stay in tune and in touch with God here. The sons of the prophets, they said, "Let us go." And Elijah said, "Go ye." And so we see they had a strong work ethic. They wanted to secure their ideas, but then they stared at their walk. Look at verse number 3. Again. He said, "And one said, Be content, I pray thee." One of the students told the prophet. "And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." One of the students from the college saw value in the watchful eye of Elisha. He had value, one if not more of these students had value in the accountability, which in turn tells me that this particular student was aware of his own flesh. He was aware. Prophet Elijah, I pray thee, be content. Come with us on Jordan. I value your watchful eye. I value your wisdom. Let us go over there. Go ahead and go. Okay, why don't you just come with us? Come with us there. We want your watchful eye because we know who we are. We may be in this college of prophets, but we know we're just but flesh. I want to say this morning, whether we invite the Lord or not, He is the watchful eye over us. He is in our situation, and He is orchestrating. We may have taken a wrong step. We may have taken a right step. But whether it was wrong or whether it was right, we have the promise of God that the Lord is with us. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. One of these prophets said, I want you to go with us. Come with us to Jordan. And he said, I will go. I want to say this morning that I'm getting to know the preachers and pastors that came to Jubilee. And I appreciate each and every one of them. But guess what? They're all the same as we are. They're all human. They're all flesh. I'm human. I'm flesh. Any one of us can fall this morning. Any one of us can falter this morning. In fact, the statistics are picking up in the Christian realm of Christian casualties. Some have gotten out of church that used to preach, and some aren't pastoring anymore. Some aren't teaching anymore. Something has happened in the local church, and somebody offended them, and they're out of church this morning. Listen, you could have been a consistent member of Calvary for 30, 40, and 50 years, but all it takes for one place in your life to be open to the attacks of the devil, and he has his way with you. So this oversight was welcomed by these men. Are we welcoming God's oversight in our daily duties? Or are we like, well, Lord, I'm going to do this morning, and I'll check back in with you at prayer time. Thank you for this food, nourishing my body. Amen. You see, because sometimes that's how it starts. It starts with a little looseness here, a little looseness there, a little folding of the hands, and a little nap here, and a little nap there on God. And before we know it, we have drifted, and we think God is working the same way He always has. And listen, God is working. And let me say this. Don't say something else. Then maybe I'll reach my third point. I said something the other night at Jubilee, and I left, and I had to rethink what I said, but I said it right. I said, God sometimes is unpredictable, but always faithful. Because God, listen, He moves in different ways. He uses animals, or He has, to preach His gospel. He uses situations like David. Shall we go up? Yes, the second time. No, don't go up. Do something different. Go a different way. God works in different ways, but He's always faithful. Well, these men, they wanted Elisha to come to oversee the job. They knew who they were. They needed that oversight. They needed someone to nudge them, to push them. Let us all not forget to invite the Lord in on what we're doing in life. We see the character they had. Notice something else. We see in verse number 4 and 5, the crisis they encountered. The crisis they encountered. And so now Elisha is going with them by Jordan to cut down beams. But look in verse number 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. The axes were going. Everything was fine. But in verse number 5, but as one was felling a beam or one tree was falling over, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." That ain't a big deal, is it? Somebody lost their axe head. Well, it was a big deal to the one that was overseeing the project. You see, if it mattered so much for these men to invite Elisha, then what they were doing was very important to Elisha. And as they were chopping and as they were going, I picture it in my mind, they were swinging one back to go again, and the axe had just flew off. Went in the River Jordan and went down. Well, there's a crisis here. There's a crisis here because Elisha cared. You and I this morning, our situations may seem frivolous and of low on the grid of suffering, low on the lower rung, but to God, they're all important. When we invite the Lord into our life and He becomes our Savior, everything we do is important. And so losing an axe head may seem of less importance to some, but it's very important to Elisha. It fell in the bottom, the Bible says. I want you to notice the axe head fell in the water and sank to the bottom. And so we see right off the bat the natural realm, an axe head being iron will sink. And no doubt this iron sank to the bottom and hit the mud, and it was embedded in there. But because of their honest disposition, this was a crisis to them. This axe head was borrowed, number one, meaning they could not repay what they lost. And because this axe head was borrowed, they could not repay. They had a disposition that was honest. They were men of character. They borrowed this. They wanted to safely return it, but now they could not repay. It was gone. And also to follow that, they couldn't work. And so now the work has stopped, and they cannot repay the axe head that was borrowed. Let me tell you something they did not say. They did not place blame on someone or somebody. They didn't say arrogantly, oh, it wasn't mine, I don't care. But they took it in and embraced the loss. Many times in life, the heart of iron sinks from pride into the mud of the world, and it is there deeply embedded, and in the work in their life stops. There's no productivity. They're leaving and waning away from their walk with the Lord. There's no way they can arise the situation, and there's no way there can be a resurrection in their life because what they had was gone. Sometimes in church, any given service, there are those who have hearts of iron where they may be here in person, but their heart has sank to the bottom of worldliness, and that is embedded in the mud of this world. There's a crisis on their hands. Notice something else, and we'll be through. The cure they experienced. And so they're there, and they're working, and they slung the axe head off. It was borrowed. And this bothered one individual particularly. He could not pay it back. He wanted to. He could not resurrect this iron axe head. He couldn't work. He couldn't do anything. It was over. Sometimes in life it seems that way. When mistakes happen, when we falter, when we fail, that it's over. God's not working anymore in this situation. But then we see the cure. Look in verse number 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? And so the man of God said, where did it happen? Show me, point to it. When did you get off course? When did you lose it? When did the work stop? Let me ask everybody a question this morning. If you feel like something has happened in your life, there's an imbalance in your walk in the Lord, there's no productivity. There's no fellowship. There's no oneness with Jesus like it used to be. When did it happen? Where can you pinpoint it in your life? Was it a conversation you had with someone and they told you something you didn't want to hear? Was it in a situation in church or at home or at work where you was offended and you said, you know what? I'm not going back to church anymore because of that. And whenever that happened, you became like that iron axe head. You fell to the bottom of the waters, and there you lay embedded in the mud of this world. Elijah said, where did it happen? Point it to me. And the man of God said, where fell it? Notice what he says. And he showed him the place. He said, this is where it happened. I was working with this borrowed tool, and it flew off and it landed right there, Elisha. That's when it stopped. You know what we need to do this morning, some of us? If there's an imbalance with our walk with the Lord, or there's some kind of deficiency in our Christian life, if we have no joy, we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, that's where it happened. It happened on that week while I was at work and somebody crossed me the wrong way and I said bad words to him and I didn't repent over it because I felt justified in it. And that's where my closeness stopped with you, Lord. I wonder this morning if anybody needs to come down at altar call and say, you know what? I want my joy of the Lord restored. This is where it happened and this is where it stops. Notice something else. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick. Okay, I want to question why he did what he did. I was thinking about this. He cut down a stick. Man of God said, where did it lay? Okay, it's over there. Elisha went over here. Cutting down a stick. Why didn't he just get the axe handle it came with? Why didn't he just get the axe handle it came with? I mean, if he was going to pull that axe head up and allow it to swim and float, why didn't he just get that axe handle, throw it in there, right through the axe head, and it'll come up? I'll tell you why. This is, I believe, a foreshadow of the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Just stay with me and we'll close. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. and the iron did swim. If all this miracle involved was a stick, why didn't he use the axe handle? I'll tell you why. Because Elisha did not throw the stick in the water, and it didn't land in the axe head, and it didn't come up and float that way. I believe the new stick that he cut down, it actually gave a summons to that iron axe head and said, come up hither. You see, while the axe handle, he could have easily threw it in there, and that could have explained, in a sense, hard stretch, but could have explained how it all happened. But God told him, he told Elisha, I want you to cut a new stick, different from this old stick. Because you see, this is how it happened with the old stick. It flew off. It could not be retrieved. I don't want to use the old handle for this iron axe head. Cut off a new stick. And I want to say that it was that new stick that summoned, it called up this axe head. And the Bible says in verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Because of the new stick, there was a resurrection. Because of the New Testament, there's newness of life. The old axe handle could not do what the new stick did. He did not want to use the old axe handle, but he used a brand new stick. This pictures, I believe, the old versus the New Testament. You see, it was the cross that was applied to our lives through the Lord Jesus that caused newness of life to anyone who trusts in him. Jesus got out of the grave on the third day. And anybody that accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, there will be a spiritual resurrection in their life. They will no longer be dead in trespasses and sins, but there will be a newness of life. There will be a different person. The cure that they experienced was that the man pointed to the place in the waters, and then Elisha threw a stick in. He cut it down, and it summoned. It called up this iron axe head. Can you imagine this axe head that floated to the top and started to swim? At first, I was thinking, I have kind of a, sometimes I have like a cartoonish mind. I just figured that two arms on this axe head, you know, just swim to the shore. The man reaches down and, you know, finishes the job. But swim here means to float. And I'll say this in conclusion as they come. He caused iron to swim or float. It is against the nature of iron to do so. The laws of nature could not allow iron to swim. But the God of nature is not held or bound to the laws of nature. Let me say that again if I can. The iron within itself, it sank because by nature it would do so. And so the laws of nature itself could not allow this heavy iron to rise to the top. So therefore, the God of nature is not held to the laws of nature. And I'll say that in plain language. What we can't do for ourselves, God can. And the message this morning is simply the school of these prophets. They were men that followed Elisha. They kept the right company. They had character. They had a strong work ethic. But they had a crisis. I wonder if anybody this morning is experiencing a crisis. Somewhere along the way of laboring for the Lord, you lost your axe head. You're down this morning to the bottom. But let me just say, what you cannot do for yourself, the one who made nature is not bound by nature, and he can cause a miracle to happen for you to walk out of here in resurrection power this morning. Let's stand to our feet and we'll give a verse of invitation. If you need to come, you come this morning on the first verse as we sing. Anybody?
Search me, oh God.
Anybody need to come this morning?
My heart.